I still feel menace from you. I started it early. Before I continue the five powers, I would like to share this with you, and if you are interested in, and then you can always look to Google, and then you can get it. This I last time I forgot to give you, but anyway, this is the so-called the whole three baskets of the Theravadin school. As we all know that now we have two main schools. One is so-called Mahayana, developed Buddhism, and the second one is Theravadin tradition. Way back, people used to call themselves Mahayana, means the greater vehicle, whereas Theravada they call Hinayana, means the lesser, smaller vehicle. During that time, of course, as you know, there was a division within the Sangha. So nowadays we have some sort of division. It's not something new, okay? And that is something deep down in here. So please understand that. And nowadays, Theravadin tradition believe that their the collection, the three baskets, are original. Okay, whereas developed Buddhism is not original. That's how they still looking at each other. But to me, to be honest with, I'm walking somewhere in between and try the best I can to use or apply whatever applicable to me. Sometimes I use techniques from developed Buddhism. Sometimes I use the four foundation of mindfulness for my practice, but mainly the four foundation of mindfulness. Whereas the way I'm functioning, traveling around to share, and that is a little bit different from a Theravadin tradition. Theravadin tradition, especially in Burma, they don't travel around to teach. They just stay at one place and put a lot of practice and try to perfect themselves. And if we want to practice, we come to that place and learn. So they don't travel around to teach, because their belief is that the more we travel, the more energy we lose. And I believe that is very, very true. I found it myself that way. Every time I travel, all I can do is just share the Dharma through my mouth. And I do not have enough time to practice with you on the basis of one-on-one. You see? For example, if we have time together, for example, if you come to my place and we practice together, or if I stay at this temple, you come and practice with me, then we can have a chance to share the Dharma one-on-one. And what I can share is, for example, when you are sitting, you have certain phenomena happen to you, then you tell me what's going on. For example, when we're sitting, we have so much, so many thoughts, for example, or so restless, that you come and ask me why, and then I will tell you why. And depending on how close we are, because if somebody happened to join us just for a few days and they come over and tell me that I'm so restless, what can I do? My answer is that I don't know. Yeah, because I don't know their background at all. So to me, that is the beauty of one-on-one practice. Then I can correct not just the posture, but also how to focus on certain object of mind and how to maintain it. And in case something goes wrong, then how can we fix it? Instead of come here for a week or even a month, but every week we meet only a couple of days, and it's nothing. So please keep that in mind. And if we really want you,
do we have to come with two of us? Do two of us have to come?
Okay. You mean the for consultation?
No, to come to your place. Do we have to come in a pair?
No, I just say, for example.
I was going to come.
Oh, no. Now, over here is nice. Well, the reason is this, because over here, and you have the separate living quarter. It's much better that way. And also, if we can have, for example, 10-day retreat, for example, non-stopping, and starting at 6 every morning, or 5 every morning, all the way to 10 at night, every day. And again, no talking. That is the worst part. We might die from not talking. Okay. Yeah, it is very true. It drove me crazy because we used to talk. Even if when we're all by ourselves, we still talk in here, internal dialogue, keep talking to ourselves all the time. But anyway, this is the three basket. Okay, the first one is called the sutta, and the sutta Pitaka. The first one is called Sutta Pitaka, and the second one is called what term should I use? The Pitaka of discipline. Yeah. I prefer not to use precept. And the last one is the basket of Buddhist psychology. Yeah. So those are the three main baskets. And in here, I bring out for you the. Just the first basket, that is a sutta, Pitaka. And all the teaching coming from this basket. Pitaka is a basket. Sutta means the discourse. So I will give this out to you, and if you like, you can always buy a copy. I make two copies. And like I said, the discourse of the shorter is the longest. Okay. So, for example, Dhammapada include in there. So the shorter discourses, to me, it is more or less miscellaneous. Like a question of King Melinda also in there, and all the verses of Teragata or Terigata also in there. So there's so many different things. And you are, if you are interested in, please. Do not start with Dhyanikaya, the first one, the long discourses. The long discourses is very, very tough one. To me, the easiest one is Anguttara Nikaya. The first one, the long discourse, because we need to have some background in order to understand the long discourses, whereas the Anguttara Nikaya and the number four Anguttara Nikaya, these are the discourses. It increased by one dharma. For example, the first chapter is consists of just one. The Buddha says something like this: there is no form can make a man become drowned into like female form. Okay, so that is what. Okay. Or there is no form can make a female drown into like a male form. So and so forth. A form, feeling, perception, so on and so forth. A smell, touch. So these are the Anguttara Nikaya, and it is very, very, to me, suggests that we should learn Anguttara Nikaya, number four. It's very easy for us to remember. And of course, there are two books I would like to suggest to you. Beside Anguttara Nikaya is Dhammapada. Dhammapada is a very, very beautiful short teaching of the Buddha. It is called Dhammapada. Yeah, Dhammapada consists of about 423 verses. For example, when the Buddha see a empty barrel monk, you heard of that story, right? Yeah. Teaching. Then every time he taught, every time he walked by, the Buddha said something like, "Here come empty barrel monk." Okay, because everything he's teaching is just empty words. Very beautiful wording. But he himself never practiced. And therefore, the Buddha called him an empty barrel monk. And thanks to that, the Buddha a verse consists of maybe four sentences. For example, like rather live one day, but understanding the law of impermanence, than live 1,000 years without knowing the law. So that is coming from that story, and it's total of 423 verses. And the second one is Milinda Pangha. Pangha means question and answer. Okay. Milinda is the name of a king. Presumably he was a Greek. Okay. And his question to a monk called Nagasena. Uh, He asked, the monk answered, and as we all know that Milinda Pangha and Dhammapada Burmese Lin Kiri monk, they must learn by heart. Yeah, because it's so easy to memorize. Therefore, they have to learn by heart, especially Dhammapada. And every day they have to recite so these are the two I suggest you to read. And it is nowadays very, very easy to get it for free from Google. Okay. And again, what I share with you about the techniques, how to practice, how to put into a practice whatever we learn, total 37 factors of enlightenment. They are coming from all the sutta. Okay. So I believe that the 37 techniques came after. For example, we are the second generation student of the Buddha, and when we sit together, we try to categorize which one is for learning, which one for practicing, and the 37 factors compiled by elder monks way later, maybe 500-600 years later, not during the time of the Buddha, because during the time of the Buddha, the Buddha just share, okay. Every day, if we read the easy as one is the old pathway cloud. You see, every day, all he does is get up early in the morning, walk into the village, walking around, begging for food, coming back before noon, wash his face, wash his hands, wash his feet, and then spread the then they do not have cushion, just spread a small sheet of cloth. The size should be around maybe 2 feet by 2 feet, something like that. Okay, and then sit on it and then eat, and then wash his bowl, and then sit there and went deep into concentration, get out of concentration, start to talk. Or sometimes that is one form of teaching without being asked. Or sometimes his student come and ask. That is another form of teaching. The teaching coming from a question. So there are so many forms of teaching. And again, during his 45 years, as you all know, that 100 million times one question was asked, and 100 million times he answered. Therefore, they keep repeated all the time, but get so easy to memorize. And that is how we can have all these things. And when we read these, we know why people can memorize the whole three baskets, because it keep repeated all the time. There is nothing worse than a female form. There's nothing worse than male form. There's nothing worse than touching a female. There's nothing worse than touching a male. There's nothing worse than tasting something we like. There's nothing worse than so on and so forth. So keep repeated all the time. Make it so simple. Tonight I like to continue what I left last time, and I believe that this is to me this is the key, the five powers is the key of our practice. And again, like I shared earlier, so this is the mindfulness. And this is faith. And this is wisdom. This is effort. And this is concentration. And like I shared earlier, if we can perfect our mindfulness, all these fall into. Okay. Mindfulness is more or less like the lead horse, okay. Whereas this pair, faith and wisdom, is one pair. Effort and concentration, another pair of horses. Okay. This horse and this horse must be equally strong. The same applies to effort and concentration. But how? This horse must watch them all the time to make sure that somehow they are at the same pace. Too much of the faith, we lose our wisdom because we have blind faith. Too much of an effort, we will become restless. We cannot concentrate. Because deep down, we always push ourselves too much. But the more we push ourselves, the more we become a little bit agitated. You remember, you heard about the story of Ananda, that is a fiction. The first council, have you heard of that? After the Buddha passed away, and then everybody, including myself, yahoo, you see, because now the Buddha passed away, nobody can tell me what to do. I can sleep as much as I want. Running around, chasing women, so and so forth. Okay. So, Maha Kashyapa called all the so-called students who attained arahantship to get together to recite what the Buddha taught. And there must be 500, okay. And again, please remember, 500 means many. not 500. But unfortunately, that were only 499. A student became arahant. And the one he need most is Ananda. But unfortunately that he not yet become arahant, you remember that. After the Buddha passed away, he still attained just the first stage. Therefore, he was not allowed to enter the council. But without him, nobody can recite because he is a computer. Okay. So, Mahakasyapa Maha mean big, okay. Great, big, super. Whereas Kula is small. Okay. Maha Kasyapa keep pushing him. And he keep practicing day and night to make sure that he can become arahant. But the more effort he put into the warsaw. Day and night, practicing without sleeping, practicing the four foundations of mindfulness, but in vain. Finally, he said, "This is my word." The heck with it. Okay. So he just sit down and lie down. But of course, through training, every movement he made, he knew. The moment his shoulder touching the bed, you've been there. In India, you know, it's made of is it stone or something? The moment his right shoulder touching, he knew how cold it is, how hard it is. The moment he totally lie down, he knew, boom, right there, he attained an arahantship. He became Arahant. That is to say, if we are so eager to attain something, most of the time we cannot make it. Or if we can make it, we will make it with a lot of effort. That is the reason why every time before we are sitting, I always ask all of us, relax. Just relax and let go. All the worries, leave it out there. Relax. Checking from head to toe, relax the whole body. If there is any tense spot, relax that spot. If we have any depression or worries or anything, leave it out there. Come in here, empty mind, relax. Then, with small effort, we can catch or grasp 100% of our breath. But the more we look into, the more we try to breathe in, I know, breathe out, I know. Good luck, you see. Just relax, breathe in, breathe out. We got it. Believe me, that is how most of us bump into this kind of situation. So, thanks to mindfulness, we keep watching, okay? If there's a little bit too much, slow down. Push this one up a little bit. If too much of this is where we always have a problem. Concentration. If we get so deep into it, after the point we do not know, if we do not have teacher, we do not know whether we are in deep concentration or in deep sleep. Okay. And so this is something we need to have good teacher to tell us. But the way we are practicing, we concentrate mainly on this. And thanks to our mindfulness is bear attention, recognize that our concentration is too deep. Without this, we cannot tell. the moment we get out of it, then we start to, because mindfulness is recognition, bare recognition, bare attention. After that, we use perception to recall what happened when we're sitting. I try my best to explain something not so easy to explain, but don't take my word for it, because sometimes I might goof, okay? But that is how I experience. Use this to recognize what's going on. Slowly and surely. Then, after we attain so-called near concentration, that is to say not so deep, we still can hear something. But without this, we cannot tell whether we're near or deep. Then use mindfulness together with perception. Try to recall what's happening when we're sitting. Then we can tell whether we are in deep concentration or in deep sleep. Okay. If we are in deep concentration, that's nice. However, our practice is not to get into deep concentration. But as of now, I believe that none of us can attain deep concentration yet. Okay, not yet. But anyway, please use mindfulness all the time. And when we go home, or when we have spare time, together with perception, we can double check them all before we sit down and practice. And I believe that way back I shared with you about the concentration. Is it okay? I'm okay. Without mindfulness, everything we are doing, we think that it is coming from our so-called wisdom, either common wisdom. For example, we become a doctor, become a scientist. These are just called common wisdom. Okay. No matter how many PhD degree we have, still just common wisdom. Whereas this true wisdom is truly live with impermanence. So even we have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 doctor degree, but if we forget that everything ever changing, then we cannot make it, because we are still running around. But anyway, with mindfulness, we will help our sitting become very, very very, very pleasant. are sitting, we relax first. And with mindfulness, we aware that now everything is cool off, okay, relax. Then slowly, we recognize what's going on with our breath. Just recognize. In now, out now means we know with no judgment. How come today my breath is too short? Never say that. But short breath out, long breath, that's it. Not, I should not drive like crazy before I come over here. And then that is judgment, you see. Short breath now. Not saying because I walk all the way from parking lot up to here, I lose my breath. So short now, okay. With mindfulness, and then slowly and slowly, we still can hear all the senses still there. All the senses still there. We still can hear traffic, okay. And whoever cooking down there, we still can smell. With mindfulness, we recognize that there is something coming from kitchen. That's it. Don't sit there and say, what's that? Okay. Chicken soup? Of vegetarian soup. Okay. So recognize it. Recognize it. And then slowly let it become background. Okay. Let it become background. And then our concentration will become just like a magnified glass. It will burn everything right here. Totally focused because everything else become background, you see. At this point, we lose even our breath. We don't even know that we are breathing. Okay. Totally with just one thing. That is in the breath. Not just an observer anymore. We become one with our breath. We know too. Before, with mindfulness, we know our breath is short or long. We are an observer. There is something being observed that still too. Observer and something we observe. Slowly up, we become one with our breath. That is right here. But then the problem is we cannot maintain it. I believe that during our sitting, we can attain this moment many, 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 many times, but we cannot stay long enough. Okay. But if we stay long enough, then there's another problem pop up. That is, we feel So good. Okay. We feel so good. And we just stay in the grasping, the sukha, the happiness, because out there's so much suffering. I love to stay in here. Then we're in trouble. So stay right here. Then don't make an effort to stay in there forever. Get out by recognize that there is a movement or something else pull us out. But this is the place where we must have, that is concentration, focus point. If we do not attain this, then our mind will just swing all the time, back and forth, back and forth. Therefore, we have, just like when we are holding a magnified glass, but if our hand is shaking, then it cannot focus. The same applies to our mind. But if we can hold our hand steadily, then we can have a piece of paper burn. The same applies to focus point. That's why sometimes we heard the term single pointedness, right? Nhất điểm tâm. You remember about the story I shared before? A teacher wants to to retire and ask his student to have a contest so that he can his student can replace him. You remember that? As we all know that in Japan, everything is called Zen, right? Yeah. Zen only means meditation. Please remember that. Zen is a Japanese a term for a jhana. In China, is Pali term. And then when it come to China, they call it China. And slowly, later on, they dropped this. And then we heard the term Chan. That is Chinese. Okay. And in Vietnamese, we call tail. This is Vietnamese, and this is Chinese. And when you go to Korea, it is called Son. And you go to Japan, it's called Zen. So Zen only means meditation. So there's no secret about Zen. Okay. Yeah. So in Japan, everything is Zen. Martial art, also Zen. Judo, Kendo, Zen. Archery, Zen. Art of flower arrangement, Zen flower. Okay. But anyway, there was a teacher. He's very good at in archery, and he want to pass how you call it, pass down, he want to transmit, and he want to retire for that way, so that one of his student will become a group leader. He selected three best students, okay, and he put one fake bird on a tree. You remember now? No? Thank you. Then I can have a job. Yeah, he put a fake bird on a tree. Then he asked the first student to aim at that bird to shoot. Before his student released the arrow, he asked his first student, "What do you see?" His student answered, "I saw there is a tree. On that tree there are branches. On one branch there is a bird." And then the first student was kicked out. Go back to your room, sit more. Then the second one, he asked the same thing. The second one answered, "I saw a bird on a branch." Again, the second one was kicked out. Then the third one, he asked, "What did you see?" "I saw a black dot. That is single-pointedness. That is concentration. When we see the whole thing, everything in this room, that is not concentration. When we're sitting, so many things entering and leaving, that is not concentration. Sitting here with worry, don't know what happened to Democrats, they're losing ground." Am I correct to say that? Oh. If they lose, then we might not have enough money for welfare. Okay. sitting here, there's so many things. But if we only see that dot right there, that is concentration. We don't see anybody around, just that dot down there, that is concentration. Yak, yak, you see, right there. G-I-O-T, dot, underneath the O, for example, that is concentration. Yes.
Help. What's the what? What's the question?
What's it good for?
What is it good for?
Health. Okay. These are the things in theory. Now, let us look into our daily activity. Yeah. That's what it's good for. When we are doing something, saying something, thinking something without knowing what will happen. For example, when we are driving, well, should not use the term we, should use the term I. Someday, when I'm too tired, wake up, relax a little bit, put on my glasses, go to the bathroom, right? What do we do in there? Wash my face. I wash my face with my glasses on. Yeah, that is mindfulness and concentration good for. Early in the morning, one sock is brown, the other sock is black. Walk into office, it look a little bit funny. That is mindfulness and concentration good. When we are cooking something, if we do not pay attention to, then we do not know what we are cooking. And especially when we cook for our loved one, we do not know what we are doing, then where love enters. You see, when we are doing something with mindfulness, with concentration, everything we are doing coming from our loving kindness. Yeah. Okay. It's just like when you are composing a song, there must be love in there. You must have enough concentration to observe everything around you, or else you do not know. For example, if I walk from here up there, to be honest with you, I never been up there yet. All I worry about is my step, to make sure I don't fall. Okay, that is good for. Yeah. And the more we practice, the more we become mindful, the more we become mindful, then it is like instead of have a night light, maybe for what we hardly can see anything, but the moment we have strong mindfulness, the whole room, 1, 2, 3, three lights right there. If we turn that on, 4, everything is very clear. Yeah, that mindfulness for. That is concentration for. Yeah. So we must have it. Or else we're just like a piece of wood floating without knowing when we will be stopped by something. But if we have mindfulness or concentration, whenever we stop, we know. Whenever we want to make a stop, we know. Every time we drive our spouse or our children, go to school, go to work, we know that sitting next to us are our loved one. We have to drive carefully. Yeah. Then from these things we can have a loving kindness. But beyond that, beyond loving kindness and compassion, loving kindness and compassion, our foundation, our practice. To me, okay, different people have start with something different. Maybe I'm too much influenced by His Holiness. Therefore, to me, loving kindness and compassion is a foundation. Okay. But then slowly and surely, we can see everything, anything conditioned. Everything is ever changing. For example, ourselves, condition. Our form, our perception, our feelings, our consciousness, our mental formations must work together. Or else we're not here. So we are conditioned. The weather change, we must put on warm clothes. The weather warm, nice and loose dress. Very simple, okay. This is the ultimate. Through our mindfulness, through our concentration, we develop wisdom. And again, wisdom is very gradual. To be honest with you, I do not believe in sudden enlightenment. Don't know. I believe in gradual enlightenment. Because when we read all this Zen story, boom, we got it. But we do not know that they practice for at least 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Quit, come back, quit, come back. All the hairy things, they drop. All of a sudden, become enlightened. A story about one Japanese nun. She practiced contemplation on impermanent for 20 years. For 20 years, day in, day out, she practiced contemplation on impermanence, but still cannot make it. One night, as we know, 50 years back or so, we do not have, for example, no, not 50 years, 100 years back, we do not have water pumps. We have to carry water on our shoulder. And in Asia, you know they have the, how you call it?
A yoke.
Yoke. So she carried that at night. full moon reflect on the bucket of water. It's beautiful because it's waving. She became so happy. She jumped. When she jumped, what happened? Yeah. Everything gone. Boom, she got it. They never mentioned about 20 years of practice, you see. So please don't believe in this. That's what the Buddha taught. Don't overlook small, wholesome deed. Day by day, night by night, month by month, eventually a glass will be full of water. Good deed will be the same thing. No sudden, but gradual. No first drop of water, there won't be second. That is the reason why, please do not say, I just drink one glass of wine, I will stop. The first glass will lead to the second glass. By the time we know it, we have two wings. Either that or two horns. So this is very, very interesting, because please don't expect that we can see things impermanent right away. We see it, boom, it's gone. But slowly, we can hold on to that for 1 second. And then maybe next year, we can hold on for 2 seconds. Okay, keep on working. Don't give up. With effort. Don't give up with faith that we can do it. The longer we practice with faith, with effort, the more wisdom can develop, the more wisdom can be developed, the stronger our mindfulness becomes. Then our concentration becomes deeper. Then our wisdom becomes stronger. Keep on working. If we cannot make it this year, it will next year. And if not next year, then 100 million years. Good luck. I saw you 100 million times. You see, there is nothing so called coincident. How come all of you here never sit next to me? Every time I come here, she always sit next to me. Even the first time, we hardly met, knew each other. Right? Nothing coincident. Everything is right there, waiting for all the conditions mature. Yeah. So please don't say, I fall in love. No. everything is right there. So, for example, are you two together for how many years? This guy and that guy. Yeah. How many years? Last count. Last count.
Thirty-one
years. Well, 1 month and 2 days. You see, there's nothing a so-called coincidence. Yes.
I had a question. You were talking about the causes and the conditions coming together. Would we know? I mean, like, as far as the gradual training, would I know it where I am, or is it just something that I just have to wait for to happen as long as I'm practicing? Mm. You know what I mean?
Yes. I try. Okay. If we don't practice, we always play. Without practice, when something happens, we say, oh, it's him, it's her, created. Okay. But with practice, when things happen, okay, relax. Count. How many years, how many conditions combine together make one thing happen? You see? So if we have practice, for example, it is not accident that I can sit here and share. Yes. If we relax, look back, then I can say, okay, uh-huh. 12 years as a monk, 8 years as lay, and 20 years. During my 12 years as a monk, how many months I've been in the forest, how many months I was woofing off. You see, keep counting, reflect to see there is nothing happen accidentally. Everything happen because we create condition, whether favorable or unfavorable. If we don't go out and drink tonight, we won't be stop by cop. Simple as that. We stay here tonight, at least for now. During the time we are sitting here, we are okay. Provided we don't have heart attack. Okay? So there's nothing just happened. No, everything is there. But please remember, through practice, we know that all the conditions not coming from up there, not coming from down there, coming from here. How can I be loved if I do not spread out my love, you see, if I do not give out my love, then how can I receive love? Simple as that. Many people sitting around and complain that how come everything I say, people get upset. Have you bumped into people like that? Yeah, there's nothing for free. Then he or she must train to listen to what he or she saying. If I use foul language, then of course nobody want to get near me. It's very simple. I created unfavorable conditions for me to live in. If somebody jealous, there is nothing so called by chance. Because of this, because of that, jealousy pop up. But of course, within him or her, the seed of jealousy is right there, waiting for right moment, waiting for enough water, enough soil, enough fertilizer, then the seed of jealousy pop up. So, thanks to practice, we can sit down, relax, looking within. We just don't sit here and hope for a miracle. I wish that I can win. How much do we have lotto here? I wish I can win $20 million. Then I can give him $10 million. But what happens if I never buy? Then how can I win? You see? And if I win, and if I never have a thought that if I win, I will share, then it will never happen either, you see. So everything not there, but we have to make it happen. Nothing coming from. Don't sit here and wait for snow in the summer. Yeah. Okay. Any question? So tonight is unfortunately that with so many things happened in the last only 10 days. Yeah, only 10 days, two person pass away. Yeah. And one of my students, she's only 36, she already passed away. And that's the reason I fly back, but of course, other than that too. But then during my staying in Houston, the father of my of one Sangha member also passed away. So I had to attend also. And again, thanks to that, I observed too. My friend's father passed away. To me, it is so-called normal. Okay. He's 80-something. And well, live long enough, enjoy a lot of so-called good stuff out there. It's okay to leave this world. But whereas my student, she is only 36 years of age, 2 years crippled, the last 2 years crippled, you see. So the two things, death, nobody can escape, that is for sure. But we cannot say all the people must die before younger. Okay. It can happen anytime when conditions are there. Everything must go. Everything must change. When my student, the last 5 minutes, I stand there and watch. I don't know if you had that chance or not. I hope not. But somehow she can hardly see. She look upward, only the white. How you call that? Yeah. Show up, and she can only breathe out, not breathing in. Just, you see, for a few minutes before she passed away. It makes me think again that whatever we learn, and I always share, that is, one breath out, without one breath in, we are gone. Very simple. As far as my friend's father passed away, he has been fairly healthy, but of course, like an old car, one of the thing in the car doesn't want to work. He's gone. Simple as that. So you see, death is death, but different causes. But when conditions are there or not there, things won't last. And if we allow ourselves enough time to observe and to look inward, then we can understand how natural law happens. Whether the Buddha is here or not, were born or not, it is right there. Okay. If we have depression, yes, we do have depression. But why? We have to sit down. I hope I don't offend some of you. If we have depression, yes, we must accept that we have depression. And don't just sit there and complain, or just lie down in bed day after day. Get up, do something. Go to see a professional. If we need to take medicine, take it. Before I refuse to take it, but later on, the more I practice, the more I know that we must have professional at first. Don't say, I am a professional Buddhist practitioner. I don't need psychiatrist. No, don't say that. We still need Prozac. We still need Wellbutrin. We still need Zoloft. We still need it. But don't abuse it. And through our practice slowly and slowly taper off so that we won't be hooked to it. Before I refuse to take it, that is the reason why it took me so long to recover. But if I took it the way I was instructed, plus my practice, I can slowly reduce it. Within the so-called body tolerance, if we cut off Prozac, cold turkey, we're dead. Everybody knows it, right? So if we stop something, for example, right now, I'm taking Lyrica to control my micro help. How you pronounce that?
Fibromyalgia?
Uh-huh. Could you write down? I can never pronounce that word. And I am living with it 24/7. Uh-huh. And without Lyrica, I cannot function. But I cannot stop it, cold turkey. All I can do is keep reducing. But then, oh, thank you.
My algae,
thank you. Replace it with something else too. Let's see. I cannot function without Lyrica or Librium, put it that way. And before, I do not want it to. But if I don't take it, I have a lot of pain. Not only that, but also a lot of tremor, you see. So I have to take it. But up to the point I have to use my practice to slow it, reduce it, slowly reduce it. But have to have something else to replace Lyrica and Librium with lower dose so that my body can tolerate the new substance, you see. So these are the things we must use Buddhist practice into daily activity. Don't just say, I am a monk, I'm a professional, a practitioner, I don't need nobody, don't need any medication now. It's not true. Even our teachers still need medicine. And even the Buddha still need medicine. We must have it, but we can control it. Thanks to practice, we learn to reduce condition. So to make it become less and less deep, so-called what? Drug addiction, you see. Thanks to practice. Yeah. We should not think that practicing has nothing to do with daily life. They are working together. One cannot exist without other. The reason we must practice mindfulness or concentration, because we want to take control of our life. We do not let conditions, so-called conditions, control ourselves. Do not let other people say something, then make us upset. No, that is not what we want. We must put into practice so that when we hear something not so good about us, let go. So, yeah. Very, very simple. Don't let this thing bother us, okay? Don't let this thing bother us. If my brothers or my friends or my sisters always joke about my illness and I really enjoyed it. Before I hated it, but now not enjoy, but at least I can accept. Look at him, how slow he walk, for example. I cannot walk fast because if I walk fast, I will fall. Simple as that. But now I learn to apply mindfulness into every step I am making. The slower, the better for me. Yeah. We don't have to walk as slow as me. We don't have to talk as slow as me or as soft as me. But as long as we know what we're doing, we got it. Yeah. Because we create favor. A few words I can never pronounce because of the muscle. Because we can create enough favorable conditions for ourselves, then we will be okay. Yeah. If we cannot drive, take a bus. Or ask somebody drive for us. Yeah. If I cannot walk fast at the airport, I use the card. That's it. Yeah, very, very simple. And enjoying.
Tomorrow we will have a teaching Vietnamese for the Vietnamese friends.